It's the book of Acts chapter 10. It's an important chapter. I don't know if we can appreciate the hatred and bitterness and strife between Jews and Gentiles. It was big. It was, if you were a Jew and you saw a Gentile walking toward you, especially a Samaritan, they call them, anyway, saw a Gentile walking to you, you'd cross the street and walk on the other side. So in case that Gentile didn't rub against you or touch your arm or something, it was pure hatred. It was tradition hatred. Your mama and daddy hated Jews as well, or hated Gentiles as well. And for a Jew to go to the house of a Gentile wasn't done. For a Jew to sit down and eat meal, even a breadstick, with a Gentile, it was unheard of. And so chapter 10 is really a remarkable, it's simple, but it's remarkable that Peter would go and that others from Jerusalem would go to a Gentile's house. So we're in chapter 10 and verse number 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band or regiment, a devout man. This is interesting. The Holy Spirit now is writing about this man who is not a Christian, but a good man. You know people like that? Just good people, just salt of the earth type people, but not Christian. One who feared God. Wow. With all of his household, not just him, but he had the family under control. I don't know if he had the wife under control. That's kind of harder. But anyway, had the family under control. His whole household feared God. Gave alms graciously or generously to the people and prayed to God always. Now, if I was in the world thinking worldly thoughts, I'd say, here is a Christian man. Aren't we to be to fear God? Yes or yes. Aren't we to be devoted? Yes or yes. Aren't we to pray to God always? Yes or yes. Aren't we to give to others? Christian. No, it wasn't. Those were good traits. Those were good things. It did not make him a Christian. Now, I do want you to see this, that God hears the prayers of sinners. He hears my prayers, so I know he hears prayers of sinners. But he hears prayers of people who've not obeyed the gospel. How do you know that, preacher? Right here. Did God hear Cornelius' prayers? Yes or yes? Absolutely. Now, did his prayers save him? Well, no, not the prayer. Now, if he's praying for salvation to come to him and his household, then yes, yes. But the prayer alone, the fasting alone, the goodness of Cornelius did not save him. Just like Paul in chapter 9. Struck down the road, talked to the Lord, fasted 3 days, prayed 3 days. Was he still in sin? Yes or yes? Yes. And what did the preacher say to him, Ananias? Saul, why? Tarest thou, arise, and, hello class, be baptized, and wash away your sins. Hey, I talked to God. I had a religious experience on the road. I saw the light. I saw Jesus. Yeah, I didn't save you. I prayed for 3 days and didn't eat anything. I fasted. Didn't drink anything. I fasted. Yeah, but that didn't save you. What saves us? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You've got to come in contact with the blood. And that's true with Cornelius and his household. That's true with Paul. That's true with Sam Long. That's true with you. You've got to somehow, some way, come in contact with the death of Jesus. And Romans 6 points that out so plainly. We die to sin. We're buried with Christ in a watery grave. We rise in a newness of life. That's where you come in contact with the death of Jesus. What saves me? It's the death of Jesus. We're saved by, what's Ephesians say? We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But you have to do what the man says do. So here's a good man. I mean a righteous man, a devoted man, one who gave alms. God sees all that. About the ninth hour, what time is the ninth hour? Okay, about 3. He saw clearly a vision, an angel of God coming and saying to him, Cornelius. Isn't it wonderful that heaven knows your name? Or is that good or not? I know when the teacher would leave the classroom and we'd do stuff, having your name called was not the best thing. You kind of wanted not to be known then. Cornelius, how'd you know my name? Cornelius, he said. And when he observed him, he saw and was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers, your alms have come up as what, class? A memorial before God. Does God know when I'm generous? Hello? Yes or yes? Does God know when I'm stingy? The church in Jerusalem, were taking up collections. And there was a guy that sold a piece of land. Now, what was that guy's name? Starts with a B. And gave it to the apostles. Barnabas. Barnabas, the son of consolation, son of encouragement. And there were two other members there that are mentioned in that church. There was a man and a woman. What were their names? Ananias and Sapphira. And they sold a piece of land. But they made a story of, let's tell the apostles that we sold it for so much. And we'll keep back some of it. Because Barnabas probably got a pat on the back and, you know, he got the gold star that Sunday. So let's us get a gold star. And so the man showed up and Peter said, Did you sell that land for so much? Oh, yes. Why did you try to lie to who? Who did you say you lied to? The Holy Spirit. He knew. When it was in your possession, wasn't it yours? Did he have to sell his land, folks? No or no? No. Could he have kept back a part of it and been okie-dokie with that? Was God okie-dokie with that? He just wanted to give 10% to the church. Well, that'd be okay. Or 20%. Or 5%. Or 2%. That'd still been okay. But he lied and said, We gave it all to you. And what happened to him? Fell down dead. Breathed his last breath. And they didn't wait. They came and picked him up, took him out and buried him. A few hours later, she comes in. Sapphira. Did you sell that land for so much? Oh, yeah, yeah. They'd made that up. Why'd you try to lie? You don't even know your husband just died and we just got through burying you. You weren't invited to the funeral. And what happened to her? When the plates, we don't pass plates, do we? When we give, aren't we saying to God, This is how you prospered me this week? Here you are, God. That's what you prospered me. Would we have any funerals on Monday? That's what I'm saying. In fact, our giving to God, how to get off on this? I'm a fundraiser, that's how. Our giving to God indicates our love for God. Hello? Yeah. Yeah. I will say that this church, pandemic and all that kind of stuff we went through, has been so generous. And we thank you for that. Elders, thank you for that. We don't discuss, you know, stopping a program or whatever. We're always talking about more and more because of your generosity. But giving is, it indicates my love for God. And so we need to be careful about that. Anyway. His almsgiving came up before God as a memorial before God. Now, send men to Joppa. I didn't even get off on that. And send men to Joppa for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging in with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you, this version says, must do. There's something you need to do. Why didn't he just tell him what to do? Same reason he didn't tell Paul on the road what to do. That's going to be left up to man. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants, devout soldiers from among those he waited on him continuously. And when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. He didn't wait. He didn't wait for what's going on. Let's go ahead and get this thing done. He sent them on. The next day, as they went on their way, they drew near the city. Peter on top of the house to pray. At about the sixth hour, he was very hungry. This sounds like a preacher, doesn't it? What's the sixth hour? What do you do at noon? You eat, right? We got to go down to Camden last Sunday, and we always eat after services. But that rain and everything, we didn't eat a bite. We just did our driving and everything, but I was still hungry. He became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while he made ready, he fell into a trance, went to sleep, and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at four corners descending to him, let down on the earth. It was all kinds of four-footed beasts and animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. I think one version says reptiles is on there. A voice came to him. Mine's in red letters, by the way. Rise up and do what? Kill and eat. That's the Lord speaking. But Peter said to the Lord, no, thank you. Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Don't tell the Lord no. If he speaks to you, the answer is, here am I, send me. So, and a voice to him again, the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call what? Common. Did Peter get it right then? Come on, class, did he get it? No, he didn't get it. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. And while Peter wondered about himself what this vision and what he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry in Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname is Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you or seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing. For I have sent them. Go with these Gentiles where? I don't do that either. I don't eat things common or unclean, and I don't mess around with Gentiles. Go and doubt nothing. What was his training? What was his regiment? Stay away from Gentiles. Don't cross the tracks. Don't go over there. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am him who you seek. For what reason have you come? Did he know the reason already? He just said, go with them. And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one who feared God and had a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, has divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. The men that were sent had nothing but good things to say about the one that sent him. Now, they're going because it's their job. But they had nothing but good things to say about Cornelius. What kind of man was Cornelius? A good man. How? Devout. One who prayed. One who gave. One who helped Gentiles too. Being a Gentile himself. Just a good guy. And let me say something, folks. I don't have to say it. You don't have to get a button every time you do something good. You don't have to get a plaque just because you did something good. In fact, it may be better not to get the plaque. Hello? Well, I do this and that and the other, and nobody's ever said anything. That sounds a whole lot like other boy, the older brother. Remember him? Nobody gave him a plaque. Nobody had a party for him, but they did for that prodigal. Well, it's okay not to get a plaque because someone's still keeping score. Who is it? Who's still keeping score? The Lord is. And the plaque will come later. In fact, calls about a crown of righteousness. Anyway, okay. Then he invited them to lodge with them. He invited them in and lodged them. Was that unusual? Yeah, that's big time unusual. And on the next day, Peter went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Peter was smart. Let me take some guys with me. Is that okay? Let me take some other Jews with me so they can see what all is going to transpire, and I won't be there by myself. It's like our visiting here. Our staff and elders, if we go visit you, there'll be two elders or an elder and his wife. Our staff will have somebody else with them. That's our policy. And it's not to be broken. Why? Well, we live in a crazy world. Why? Everything be verified. Everything be verified. And the following day, they entered Caesarea, and Cornelius was waiting for them and called together his relatives and close friends. You know what I call that? Friends and family day. That is your first friends and family day in the Bible. Isn't it? Hello? Isn't that what our friends and family day is about? Invite your friends, invite your family. Well, hear that? Here's a man who wants to know what God wants him to do. I can convert this guy. I mean, I can convert him. And he found somebody, I don't know if God, who he says he is. No, this guy is ready to hear God's word. And Peter was coming in. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up and saying, "Stand up. I myself am also a man." And he talked with him, and he sent and found many who were gathered come together. And when he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with one of another nation." By the way, the word Gentile, another nation. Do you know the law I'm breaking here? Do you know what some people going to think about this? "But God has shown me that I should not call any man," what class? "Common or unclean." Yeah. They were common, they were unclean. Yeah. Common and unclean. Unclean because they didn't go and wash, they didn't go and have their hands done, and all that. Anyway, common or unclean. "Therefore, I came without objection. As soon as I was sent for, I asked, 'For what reason have you sent me?' And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing," probably an angel. "And he said, 'Cornelius,'" listen to it, "'your prayers have been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God.'" Folks, if you give a cup of water, God knows about it. Hello? If you give a piece of bread, does God know? In fact, judgment scene, remember Matthew 25? "I was hungry and you" what? "Hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you sick and in prison and you." And they said, "Lord, we don't remember you ever being hungry. We don't remember fixing you cornbread, that good cornbread. We don't remember that. Inasmuch as you've done another way, one of these, the least of my brethren," can you finish a clash? "You did it unto me." That changes visitation. That changes almsgiving. That changes fixing pies or supper. for somebody. If the Lord was in Baptist East in room 101 and said, I'd like visitors tonight, you know where I'd go after Bible class? I would not go to McDonald's. I would not go to Dairy Queen. I'd go to Baptist 101. Well, guess what? If you've done it on one of these, at least, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So when I visit, when I give a cup of water, when I feed, when I give, whatever it is, especially to the body, it's as if I'm giving to the Lord. That just changes the dynamics of it because it's to the Lord. And surely you wouldn't deny the Lord getting those things. No. Well, let's go ahead. I know my time's gone, but still Matthew 25, and I was hungry and you fed, and you did not feed me. Okay. But then he said, I was hungry and you did feed me. And they asked the same thing, those who did not do what they should have done. When were you this way and we fed you? We don't remember doing that. And again, what's the statement? Inasmuch as you've done these, at least to my brethren, you did it unto me. So they didn't realize that was good, that God was keeping score. But he does. He does every time. Okay. I went off a couple of times tonight. You might agree with that. Let's look at verse 32. He said, send men to Joppa, Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon the Tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you've done well to come. Now, therefore, we're all present before God to hear all the things commanded to you by God. Here's a man ready to obey. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, my version says, no respecter of persons. What's your soul worth? The death of Jesus. How valuable are you? Jesus died for me. God is not a respecter of persons. Then he opened his mouth and said, truth I perceive, God knows, shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him, and fears that is not scared of him, but obeys him, and works righteousness except by him. The word which God sent to you, the children of Israel, preaching in peace through Jesus Christ, for he is Lord of all. That word you know, and when the prophet proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, where Jesus began, John the Baptist baptizing Jordan River, after the baptism of John, preached how God anointed him, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit, with his power, whom went out doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we're witnesses of all these things, and he is both the land, the Jews, and Jerusalem, and they that killed him by hanging him on a tree. Him God raised up, verse 40, on the third day and showed him openly, not all by the people, but witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him. That's pretty important, by the way, that Jesus, after his death and resurrection, ate and drank. Spirits don't eat, spirits don't drink. And every time we have a funeral, you know, well, I bet she's cooking fried chicken up in heaven. I love fried chicken. You can look at me and see that, but folks, I doubt very soon they're not going to be fried chicken. We're not going to eat and drink. Spirits don't eat and drink. Anyway, God even to us ate and drank with him. He arose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he who is ordained by God to be judged by the living and the dead. To him and all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him, and of course, belief here has more to do than just accepting as Jesus, and receives remission of sin. Gentiles are converted and speak in tongues. Listen to this. While he was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word, and of those of the circumcised, that's the Jews, who believed, were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. And they heard them speak in the tongues, languages, and magnifying God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be, what's the word? They've got the Holy Spirit, haven't they? They're speaking in tongues, aren't they? But that doesn't save you. Who received the Holy Spirit as we have from the beginning. And they command them to be baptized. Oh, there it is. In the name of the Lord. And they ask them to stay a few more days. First Gentile convert. It's interesting that Peter was the one that the Lord chose to be the conduit. Because later on, Peter and Paul are going to have a problem. If you remember, in Antioch, Paul was up there preaching and teaching and everything, and Peter went up there to see what's going on. And they were having fried chicken or whatever they had, and a big meal. And when Peter saw the Jews come from Jerusalem, what'd he do? He said, I'm gonna go over here into this table number two. I'm going to leave you guys over here. I'm not going to sit with Jews or Gentiles and eat with them. And Paul withstood him to the face and said, you're to blame. So even though you get the message, even though you preach the message, that's what Peter's going to do, you don't necessarily understand the message. It's still, my upbringing is still there. I still have this thing about, well, maybe not so much about the Gentiles as I do about, I want to be accepted back in Jerusalem. So I won't sit here and eat with the Gentiles. I know preachers who make it a point when they go out and speak congregations, you know, the preliminaries when they're introducing him or singing songs or something, he'll find somebody in that congregation sitting by themselves and go sit beside them. We have folks that come to university that sit by themselves. Might be a good idea for us to get up and tell them scoot over and let us sit down. Now, they may want to sit by themselves. That's okay to do, too. But there are people who would like to be a part who never are a part. So Paul withstood him to the face, and, of course, I think he repented of that. Isn't that a good chapter, though? I just love Acts. It's just a good chapter and so practical. It's almost like today, isn't it? It's almost like, well, back in the 60s with the whites and the blacks and all that. God's no respecter of person. He loves everybody. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves all the world. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being patient with us when we're so impatient with things. Thank you, Father, for our traditions not to be that does not interfere with our true beliefs. Help us to be open-minded. Help us, Father, to see that you're not a respecter of persons. Help us to not to be. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, thank you for being here tonight.